We light the candles to remember that we are a people of hope. We hope for the future of our families, the future of the church, and the future of the world.
We light the candles to remember that we are a people of peace. We pray for peace. We engage in the practice of peace, here and now, for the sake of all.
We light the candles to remember that we are a people of joy. We struggle, we mourn, we cry, but we believe in a joy that no darkness can overcome.
We light the candles to remember that we are a people of love. We love God through our lives, and we love our neighbors through our actions.
We light these Advent candles to prepare the way for Christ, to prepare our hearts and minds for the Christ child. We light the Christ candle to remember that our preparations are not in vain, that Christ is here with us in this place, and that Christ will return. Amen. Welcome this very Merry Christmas Eve, the most holy of nights. I invite you to please stand in body or in spirit as we confess our sins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who sends the word with angels, who is made flesh among all peoples, and who breathes peace on all the earth. Amen. Amen, yeah. You guys just did that part. In Christ we are bold in the name of our to name our sin and cry out for peace. Let us keep a moment of silence for reflection and self-examination. Our liturgy of corporate confession this evening is slightly different than normal, so I encourage you to read from the screen. Holy God, we confess our sin before you. We replace compassion with competition. We seek what is mighty while ignoring the meek. We are quick to anger, but slow to forgive. We have not put on love in harmony with you. Wrap us in the grace of your powerful word. Swaddle our hearts with your peace, that all we do, in word or deed, may reflect your love born among us. Amen. I bring you the good news of great joy for all people. God has come among us in the child born of Mary, Christ the Lord. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Oh,
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have made this holy night shine with the brightness of true light. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence, and in the last day wake to the brightness of his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good evening and a Merry Christmas to all. Our first reading is from Isaiah, the 9th chapter. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you, as with joy at harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he shall be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord. I ask you now to join me in reading responsively Psalm 96. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory to his name. Bring an offering and come to his courts.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth.
Say among the nations, the Lord is king. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity.
Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it.
Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy.
Before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. He will establish and uphold it. Oops, sorry. Oh, that was the end. Sorry. The second reading is from Titus, the 2nd chapter. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly possessions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for all of us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for his people, his own, who are zealous for good deeds. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, save your Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
This is kind of an obscure one. You've probably never heard it before, but here goes. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you that you will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is most certainly the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise
you may be seated. I have to back up, thanks to y'all. Welcome, by the way. None of them ever sit in the front row, so you were pretty sure you weren't taking anyone's seat today. So I have to ask, where are my Christmas movie junkies? Do I have any Christmas? No? Okay, I'm getting some hands. Some Christmas movie junkies. Who here can't get enough of Christmas Vacation? Yeah? That's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year. Or maybe it's just the whole Christmas season. I don't know. Or maybe you prefer A Christmas Story. I think it's playing for 24 hours somewhere right now. Or maybe you like Elf. Or maybe you just hate Will Ferrell and don't like it. Maybe you like Home Alone. Or perhaps one of the several versions of The Grinch. And speaking of multiple versions of Christmas movies, did you know that Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol, according to my Googling, there are over 100 versions, 100 film adaptations of A Christmas Carol, from live action to these various animated versions, some of which I didn't even know existed. Mr. Magoo, Bugs Bunny apparently did it, the Flintstones, and of course Mickey Mouse. And even the Muppets had their own version of this movie. Or maybe you like some of the classics, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which I dare you to re-watch that movie and not leave thinking that Santa is kind of a jerk. I'm just saying. Not all Santas are jerks, just that one. Just that one. Of course, let's not forget this whole genre of Hallmark Christmas movies. They all have different titles and characters, but somehow they all tell the exact same story. And then there's, of course, Netflix and Max and Hulu and all the other streaming platforms, which come out with new Christmas movies every year, and just talking about it makes me tired. Trying to watch all these movies in an already short, busy Christmas season, I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of exhausting. No wonder we start watching these movies before Thanksgiving, am I right? Yeah, anybody else do? No, okay. Anyway, but that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? Being exhausted, running ourselves ragged, trying to get all the presents bought for all the people, and then wrapping them all, and then cooking, and all the Christmas concerts and the parties. By Christmas Eve, when we realize that we haven't watched any of our favorite Christmas movies, most of us have forgotten what we're doing all this for anyway, right? And we want to cry out like good old Charlie Brown, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" And I have to wonder, you seeing me yell that from up here, you're like, "He looks a little like Charlie Brown, doesn't he?" You are right. You are right. And I guess as pastor on Christmas Eve, it falls on me to answer the befuddled Charlie Brown who speaks for all of us. So, are you ready for my answer? I bet you're not really ready for my answer, but here goes. Christmas is all about the Christmas movies, Charlie Brown. No one's buying it? Kathy's glaring at me like, what is wrong with him? Actually, I'll narrow it down to three Christmas movies. And I'll start with the aforementioned A Charlie Brown Christmas. When Charlie Brown bellows, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" He is at the absolute end of his rope. He spent his entire Christmas season looking anywhere and everywhere for an answer to this question and is having as much luck as we would, well, expect Charlie Brown to have. His emotional plea comes just as his Christmas play and his tree are falling apart, at which point his friend Linus, out of nowhere, nonchalantly reassures him, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." So Linus, we know Linus, he walks everywhere with his security. This is a good security blanket. It's nice and dirty and it smells bad. Perfect security blanket, right? So it smells great, Andrew. So Linus walks to the center of the stage in this place over here, because it's different from where I was preaching. He walks to the center of the stage, asks for the lights to be shined on him, and he begins this way. He says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." If you notice, there's something I'm not holding anymore. In the middle of his dialogue, in the middle of his reciting that text, somehow, Linus, who carries this security blanket with him everywhere, is able to drop it. He drops that security blanket. Granted, he picks it back up when he walks back over to the side of the stage when he says, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." He didn't just put the Christ back in Christmas and reciting that, or remind us that Jesus is the reason for the season. He drops his security blanket. It's something he would never do. Linus is never without this blanket because it makes him feel safe and confident and not afraid. And yet, the instant he declares, "Fear not," and begins telling of the good news of great joy to all people, the news that the Savior is born, he drops this blanket because he no longer needs it. He is, in that moment, set free from all the fears and the doubts and the anxieties from which that blanket are meant to protect him. Our security blankets, whatever and whoever we are clinging to, whatever or whoever it is that we think keeps us safe and secure, but really doesn't, "Fear not," says Linus, "for today I bring good news of great joy, this Savior of which we hear tonight has liberated us from our fears, our burdens, and the security blankets which actually act to weigh us down." At the proclamation, "Fear not," we too can't help but drop them and go to see and worship and adore the Christ child. Yes, Linus does pick this security blanket back up, he does, but only when he ceases proclaiming the good news. We come now to the second Christmas movie needed to fully answer Charlie Brown. It's a new one this year, though it originated as a book and has for a long time been a stage play, the best Christmas pageant ever. So this movie is about a church, and it's legendary in their own mind. Legendary Christmas pageant. And the unlikely story of the year, it seems to be destined to fail. It has a new director and the worst possible kids imaginable playing all of the main roles. The Herdmans, okay? They are going to be Mary and Joseph. They're going to be the wise men. They're going to be the angel of the Lord. Worst possible because they're the Herdmans. They lie, they steal, they smoke cigars. They don't just steal your lunch. They beat you up if it doesn't have the right dessert in it. No one likes the Herdmans. And they bully and threaten the other kids into not auditioning for the leads. Put simply, they're those kids. They are the worst kids. And they are going to ruin this Christmas pageant. As we come to learn, though, the Herdman children have a very tough life. Their father abandoned them and their mother is gone most of the time. We're left to imagine where and why. So the oldest daughter, Imogene, is both a teenage child and a parent. Sounds a lot like our nativity story. As the movie continues, the pageant's first-time director, rightly named Grace, by the way, sees Imogene soften while the entire Herdman family wants to know more and more and more about a story that they'd never heard, the story of Jesus' birth and what that story might just mean for them. And while Grace is pressured by the church busybodies to recast the pageant for fear that the cigar-smoking, lunch-stealing runamucks might ruin their perfect Christmas pageant. But Grace does not waver. She delivers a biting message to the holier-than-thou churchy folk, and I'm not making any eye contact with anyone on that one. Perhaps some of us, right? And she says, "Jesus was born for the Herdmans as what much as he was for us." Let me say that one again. Jesus was born for the Herdmans just as much as he was for us. "Fear not," says the angel, "for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Here's the best and the hardest part about this proclamation, which shall be for all people, which includes all of those herdmen, all of those people. Yes, even the ones who steal our lunch and get mad when our desserts stink. I'll readily admit I have my own herdmans. And I'm willing to bet you have your own herdmans too. And I'll give you a few moments to picture them in your mind, and then I'll repeat this to you. Yes, Jesus was born for your herdmans and my herdmans as much as he was for you and for me. Which brings me to the third movie, which I hope will bring this all together. Except for it's not really a movie, it's a musical. Nativity the Musical, to be exact. Unless you came to see it at the Star Theater in Upper Sandusky a few weekends ago, you probably never heard of it. But here's what you need to know about this musical. St. Bernadette's, while it sounds like a fancy preppy school, is actually a school full of misfit, loser, cast-off, nobody kids. And Mr. Poppy, who himself is a misfit, loser, outcast, is brought in by the principal, Mrs. Bevins, to help direct their nativity play. And even though he is at times a raving lunatic with wild and crazy ideas for this nativity play, or maybe because of it, the kids love Mr. Poppy. Or maybe they love him because he is genuine. He has a big heart, and he loves and cares for these children dearly. At one point during this musical, Mrs. Bevins sings of Mr. Poppy, seemingly to herself, "He's the very last hope for this school." I gotta say, that's kind of like Jesus is the very last hope for us in this crazy world we live in. Now, am I saying that Mr. Poppy is Jesus in a show called Nativity the Musical? No, I am not saying that. But I am saying that over and over and over again, Mr. Poppy loves these outcasts, these misfits, and these losers. You know, the ones who this newborn baby Jesus will grow up to spend a whole lot of time hanging out with. Mr. Poppy isn't Jesus, but he becomes as Jesus to these children in their lives. And now, with the help of two Christmas movies and a musical, and, of course, Scripture, we can answer Charlie Brown's question. We can bring it all together. Fear not, for a Savior is born this day. This Savior has liberated us from our fears and our burdens and those security blankets, whatever or whoever they are, which weigh us down. At the proclamation, "Fear not," we can't help but drop them. We can't help but drop these security blankets that we think keep us safe and go forth and see and worship and adore the Christ child. And once we see and worship and adore this Christ child, once we experience the good news that is this Christ child, we can't not proclaim the good news of his birth. But to whom? Who is deserving of this message? Do we control who is deserving of this message? We can, but ought we? As the angels instruct, this good news of great joy is for all people. All people. There are no conditions there. For those who have heard it 1,000 times, all people. And for those like the herdmans who may have never heard it a day in their lives, kind of all people, or perhaps have heard it and thanks to stuffy, busybody, holier-than-thou Christians, couldn't believe that Jesus was born for them too. But we've been freed and commissioned to go out and find our herdmans and proclaim to them, Jesus was born for you just as much as he was for me. And to really actually mean it. And finally, as we learn from Mr. Poppy, our proclamation must be in word and deed. We put on Jesus for our neighbor. We become as Jesus to the neighbor. Embrace our inner and outer loser, outcast, misfit selves, just as this infant Jesus has come to do. Just as Mr. Poppy does over and over in that musical, and love the losers, the outcasts, and the misfits that, yes, need to hear that God has been made flesh for them too. But to also experience God made flesh through us. To experience the love of God through us and with us. You know, come to think of it, I think we're onto something here. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. I think that's roughly the message of Christmas, no? God with us, so that we may live without fear. God with us, so we may then go on to proclaim the good news of his birth to all. God with us, so we may live as Jesus to the neighbor, especially in the craziness that is this season, the craziness of our lives that is this broken but soon to be restored world. Emmanuel, God with us, made known to us and through us for all people. That's the promise of Christmas, and that's what Christmas is all about.
Amen.
And for that, I say, thanks be to God, and amen. Amen.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe
in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten. One being with the Father, through him all things were.
Christmas Eve night, I ask if there are any additional prayers that we would like to raise. Bill.
And Tom.
Tom. Bill and Tom. Let us pray. Filled with good news of great joy, let us offer our prayers for the church, the earth, and all people.
Angels sing with praise, and shepherds run with haste. As we glorify and praise you here at First Lutheran, send us into our neighborhoods, the city of Galion, and the world, proclaiming the salvation you have revealed this night. God of grace,
receive our prayer. The nations declare your glory. Uphold the leaders of the earth with your justice and righteousness. Break the rod of the oppressor in every land and bring peace where there is conflict, especially across the Holy Land, in Bethlehem, in the West Bank and Gaza, in Jerusalem, and across Israel, in Syria and Lebanon, and the entire Middle East that for too long has known bloodshed and violence as a way of life. God of grace,
receive our prayer. The seas roar and the trees of the forest sing for joy. As creation resounds with praise, inspire us with awe, reverence, and renewed care for all that fills the fields, skies, and seas. God of grace,
receive our prayer. The Holy Family finds shelter around the animal's manger. Draw near to persons experiencing homelessness, to refugees, those who are alone during the season, and all for whom this world makes no room. Wrap all your children in bands of love and mercy, especially Fred, Caden, Kevin, Linda, Joe, Haley, Paige, Sandy, Scott, Jean, Tina, Barb, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Ed, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, Karen, for Bill, for Tom, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. God of grace,
receive our prayer. A child is born for us, and light shines on the weary. Watch over those who give birth this night, and attend to those who are dying. Be present in our joys and in our sorrows, in our uncertainty and fear, and in our hopes and dreams for this place, for our community, and for our world. God of grace,
receive our prayer. We commend these prayers to you, O God, trusting your grace made known to all through the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We break up the party and we continue worship, maybe with our gifts and our offerings. He'll just have to start playing.
pray. God of heaven and earth, from the beginning you have called forth life in which you take delight. The trees, the fields, and the seas sing for joy. Bless now these gifts received from your bounty, that we may join the chorus of creation and tell of your salvation from day to day.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. In the wonder and mystery of the Word made flesh, you have opened the eyes of faith to a new and radiant vision of your glory, that, beholding the God made visible, we may be drawn to love the God whom we cannot see. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is dying, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
With this bread and with this cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us, awaken your people, fill us with your light, and bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. A child has been born for us, a son given to us. Come, receive this, the gift of Jesus.
what Christ shed for you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you, Jesus, who is our heavenly food. Strengthened by this goodness, send us forth to announce your peace, comfort the afflicted, and share the good news of great joy. Amen.
Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word of flesh, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, and the glory of his as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Incarnation. I invite you to stand in body or in spirit.
today, and always. Amen.
On. If you would like to take your poinsettia with you today, you can do so after the service. But before that, fear not, for I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people.
To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah.
This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Go forth and tell it everywhere.
Thanks be to God.